look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
All right, nice to have you back on this Saturday afternoon, the beginning of the next couple of games for the Giants down at the Big A in Anaheim. We're bringing Bruce Jenkins. Bruce, how are you?
Good, Marty. How's it going?
Very good, very good. A couple of things that hit me right away. One was last night. Padres have played 7,500 games. They still haven't had a no-hitter. And it brought back the memories of Clay Kirby and Steve Arlen and Preston Gomez taking Kirby out after 8 no-hit innings.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And here was last night Tyson Ross, and I don't know if you saw it, Andy Green, the manager, but it was an interesting way he handled it, I thought.
I did not. I was watching Kershaw and Scherzer on another channel. I did see some highlights. But, yeah, I mean, Tyson Ross, man, that guy's got phenomenal stuff when he's on. It was a shame. But, well, I don't know. After all these years, you wonder if they're ever going to get it.
Well, it was interesting. What got my interest in it was Andy Green wanted the no-hitter.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that.
Yeah, Tyson Ross was at 123 pitches. And now he's coming off an injury with thoracic outlet syndrome. Remember, he had some sort of surgery. And it's 123 pitches. He can't throw a strike. I mean, the guy just, I mean, the ball's going like 58 feet each time. And he left him in there. And the runner gets on. He walks somebody, and they steal second, goes to third with no play. And then he gets a ground ball to second, and they throw the guy out at the plate. So he still got the no-hitter going, and then another guy gets on, and then the next guy. And I'm looking at Andy Green, and he keeps looking at him. He comes out to talk to him, and he goes back. And, you know, the pitch – I felt for Ross. You know, honestly, I know we talk about pitch counts, but the guy really was just sort of short-arming the ball up there. And the next guy hits a ball over Franchy Cordero's head. And the StatCast thing said all he had to do was run like 50 feet. And he would have caught it, and he didn't. He had enough time to run 150 feet, and it went over his head, and that was the end of the no-hitter, and there was 1-1, and then they got him out of the game. But Andy Green afterwards, I guess the point I'm making, he said, I wanted the no-hitter. I wanted the kid to get it.
You know, if you're Tyson Ross and you've got a world of stuff, but you've been bouncing around the big leagues and you're looking to make an impression, that no-hitter means a lot to him. I mean, I think it was, you know, I think the two of them agreed that his arm was fine. He lost command for sure. I mean, there reaches a point where it gets ridiculous. But, you know, you talk to guys who pitched in bygone eras, you know, 120 pitches is nothing. I mean, this 100-pitch limit is the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life. And pitching coaches and managers still cling to it as if it's some kind of magic number. Now, for some guys, you don't want them to go more than 80. But other guys, they might be good for 140, and you got to let your instincts tell you what to do and not the piece of paper. So, you know, I could see running out of rope for this guy, but I thought it was refreshing to let a guy go for it. You know, as long as his arm feels fine, give him a shot.
Yeah, and it was. And the manager said it. He said, look, I wanted the kid to get a no-hitter. And
yeah.
And he was aware of the 7,500 games that preceded this one.
You know, the Padres needed that no hitter too.
Exactly. Well, they did it. Remember when the Mets did it with Santana? And
yeah.
I forget it was Terry Collins or somebody. I forget who it was, but they had the Mets had never had a no hitter.
Yeah.
And they left him out there for like 145 pitches, and the next week he was delivering the mail.
Literally.
Really? That was it.
And, let me help you with that package, ma'am.
Really, that was it for saying we didn't see him again.
And that's the flip side. I mean, and people are always going to use that as an example for, you know, letting your heart outrule the logic, you know. So there are no absolutes, Marty, in baseball, Marty, and I think that's one thing everybody should realize.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I have no respect for Andy Green.
Yes.
I really do. I thought it was terrific. So last night in the game, the kid for Arizona pitched a good game, Matt Koch, K-O-C-H.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, baseball is full of these little hazing rituals that people do. And we had one that happened last night. So he's gone out to pitch his first inning in the big leagues. And He's on the top step of the dugout, and he's getting ready to run out. He starts running out. Nobody goes with him.
Jim, hey, didn't you hear the news? You're starting tomorrow night.
Really?
Man.
No, but nobody went with him. It was great. It was great.
That's like the scene in Animal House where John Belushi, who's with me? And he storms out by himself.
Right, exactly. So we had Jessica Kleinschmidt on, and she does this little segment on MLB.com. It's called Cut 4, C-U-T number 4. And she did a little, you know, it's a little vignette. It's like 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and a little bit of dialogue with her, a little written dialogue. And she highlighted that guy last night. I thought it was pretty funny.
That's good stuff, yeah.
Yeah, then she had another one that I liked. Hernan Perez, he plays for the Brewers. I guess he's an outfielder. So what's sort of in vogue now, players sort of tease the fans with a baseball. Like they go to, you know, hand the baseball to a kid and then, you know, they take it back. It's like you shake hands with somebody and move your hand.
Yeah, yeah.
So he did that with a kid and then eventually gave the ball to somebody else. And then the next thing he does, they had a glove giveaway at the Met game where they gave sort of, looked like a red, white, and blue glove. It looked like a hockey glove. So he goes over there and takes a guy's glove. Just takes it from him, gives it to somebody else and is laughing. And, you know, we get so caught up with the highlights of baseball, and I don't know, you know, this wasn't going to happen. You know, you didn't see Bob Skinner do this, you know, in 1960 or you know, Gus Bell or Wally Post. But in today, it's part of the game. It's sort of the fun of the game. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You don't want to mess with a kid, like fake hand in the ball. But, yeah, I mean, baseball humor can be really funny. I love it when a guy hits his first home runs and two guys in the dugout are, like, reading the newspaper.
They did it.
What happened? Nah, I'm going back to my story here.
They did it to Ohtani.
Yeah. You know. He couldn't believe it. He finally just hugged a guy. He had somebody do something here.
Right. He ended up hugging someone.
Yeah, I love Ohtani last night. Classic first at bat against Samardzija. The first pitch fastball, he hammers it down the line foul. And then Samardzija buzzed him, which we've been talking about, which hasn't happened a lot. And it kind of woke him up. Then on a 1-2 count, he throws a good low curveball, and Ohtani goes down and gets it and spanks a single. I thought that was really impressive.
I thought of our conversation when I saw it. I said he came up and in. He came up and in on him. And
which you have to do, but it didn't appear to faze him at all.
No, it won't bother him until they hit him.
Yeah.
And then he's going to realize what's going on here.
One thing he does not do is dive into the pitch. You know, he sort of naturally pulls his head and body a little bit. Hopefully he knows, like, Brandon Belt is great at, like, just turning a shoulder, or Chase Utley, turn a shoulder into it. You know, these guys like Josh Harrison, who dives into a pitch that really isn't that far inside and breaks his hand, he gets all upset. No, that's on you, man. You got to get out of the way if you're going to crowd the plate like that. You can't take away a guy's inside fastball like that. You hit yourself there.
Mike Trout last night, Bruce, had a pitch that was inside, in on his hands.
Oh, my, yeah.
Did you see it? I don't know if
it was phenomenal, yeah.
Come on.
What a quick bat. There's a quick bat for you.
Wow. That's
fantastic stuff. That guy's great. And, you know, on the flip side, I thought another, getting back to Samardzija, the first at bat, he struck him out with a tremendous curveball, which made it even more impressive. You know, now he's coming in tight on him, and Trout was just all over it. That's a way quick bat.
Yeah, that showed me something. You know, you talk about Bonds' bat speed, but this ball was in on his hands, mm-hmm. and he got the barrel of the bat on it and took it out, a no-doubter. And, you know, they say we had Jeff Fletcher on today earlier, and, you know, I guess his point was this, that, you know, one of those stats where we love to talk about war, what is it good for?
Yeah.
if you look at, like, 50 Hall of Famers, this guy's, like, 33rd on the list already. And if he stopped playing today, that's what his war would be, which explains something. But we don't get to see him play enough. We don't really know what he's doing.
No, we don't. But I'll tell you, the way that team's going, and if Ohtani keeps doing what he's doing, they're going to have a lot of national TV exposure. I mean, to say nothing of Simmons and Pujols. I mean, talk about star power. And when he's pitching, or even when he's just hitting, that's a team you want to watch. I'm taping every Angels game. Then nothing's getting past me with those guys.
Wow, that last year was Bryce Harper. Remember you taped all his games?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, very good. You're getting a good inventory of games now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Well, I tape a bunch of games every night. I usually tend to find out how they came out to see if I need to watch it or watch certain things, and I'm certainly not watching 5 2.5-hour or 3-hour affairs.
You don't have the VHS anymore, do you?
I just got rid of it yesterday, along with my 8-track tape recorder in my Nehru jacket.
Very good. How about Williamson last night?
Oh, man. You know, it's funny. It's like, you know, as if this guy's going to come in and hit a Titanic homer and wake up the club, right? But that's exactly what he did. I mean, I love the changes he's made. The way he's adjusted, it's such a contrast to a guy like Jarrett Parker, who's just a bundle of nerves up there and moving around and shifting and wiggling and this and that. He's deathly quiet up there. The bat's very still. It's a little like Matt Olson, except it's a little closer to the body. But I just love that approach. There's no hits. There's no nothing. And he does have a high leg kick, but, you know, so does Buster Posey. I mean, it works for some guys. And, he was willing to make a really radical adjustment. And, geez, the payoff's been incredible. What did he hit, like 480 or something in AAA? He hit, like, every night, you know?
Yeah, he was Hurricane Hazel.
He's a guy, to me, who can hit a bomb for you every other or third game. He if he gets some discipline, because he's a real solid character guy, great guy, and it's astounding power. He hit a ball in Pittsburgh last year that they still talk about. It's like a low liner, went on like 430 feet. So that's cool. That was a great thing.
Well, last night, 114 miles an hour,
yeah,
the hardest hit of any Giant this year, 434 feet the other way. And I agree with you. I thought it ignited the team. And I said today on the show, I said, welcome to baseball 2018. If you can do that 30 times or 35 times and strike out 160 times, congratulations, you just got a $30 million contract.
Yeah. And another great baseball thing, though, there's always room for a guy like Kelby Tomlinson, who twice now has pushed that bunt to the right side, no man's land. If you get that ball by the pitcher, you hit 1,000. Yep. Nobody can do a thing with that play if everybody's playing straight up and not playing in. You get that bunt to the right side by the pitcher, you're on. And he knows that. He's done it at least twice this year. I love that.
The other thing I saw last night, I've been talking for a couple of hours here, I saw a hungry team last night.
Yeah.
And I saw Tomlinson in for Crawford. I saw Hundley behind the plate, which put Posey to first for Belt. And Pence is out of the game for Williamson. And Samardzija now is on the hill. And I saw a team that there were guys who were fighting to win and not accepting in a way, you know, well, I'm 1 for 27 with runners in scoring position. I saw guys that were hungry last night. And I thought the Giants played, I thought their best game of the year last night.
Yeah, it really, really was in so many ways. You know, the bench guys came through. There's so much spirit on that bench because, you know, so many of these guys have won and they know how it feels to win and they want to do it again. And you blend guys like McCutchen and Longoria in with that, you know, and Samardzija in with some of the younger guys. It's really refreshing to have somebody who, no matter who it is, Block or Stratton or Williamson, you know, to show that the team does have some young talent and it's not a complete bleak outlook for the future.
No, they're coming. Duggar will be here.
Yeah, definitely.
Shaw will be here. This will happen this year. I'm convinced of it. Slater will be here this year, and they have to do that. They've got to make that transition. What did you think of the Kershaw-Scherzer game last night? Kershaw sort of got hit a little bit, didn't he?
Yeah, it's kind of a disturbing dynamic with him. You know, they're already talking in L.A. Geez, you know, appreciate him while you can. He might be leaving, and it's a stupid thing to have hanging over a team, even if he is thinking about maybe pitching for a Texas team because he's from there, you know, in the future. It seems to be a little bit down. It's hard to – you never want to make a grand conclusion about a guy like that. You know, but Trey Turner just crushed the first pitch of the game down the line, Deadpool double. Scherzer is my favorite pitcher in the bigs, Marty. I love how animated he is, the stuff that he has. He can hit a little bit, as can Kershaw and Bumgarner, you know. But he's really entertaining to watch, and he's so damn good. I was glad to see him win that game.
Yeah, he said, look, if I want to be the best, I have to beat the best. I thought that was a good line from him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be fun to get on the show, I think. Maybe when he comes in this week, maybe I can – be interesting in interview just to hear, because he's really the same. He throws 95 in the ninth inning as he does in the first inning. He's done that since he walked into a game.
Yeah, And he sounds like he owns a deli in Jersey. You know, Max Scherzer's. Come on.
Yeah, he does. He's from, I think, Indiana or something like that.
But
he does.
He sounds, oh, well.
Yeah, no, he's Katz's deli. Yeah. I can order a salami from him. You know, can do that. The Reds have a new manager, Jim Riggleman. And here we go. You know, you get a team that's awful, that loses all its players, its pitchers and all that. And, of course, you fire the manager.
Yeah.
And the Orioles, this is the anniversary of them going 0-14. They ended up 0-21 or 22. But, comes Jim Riggleman again. You know?
Yeah, that's just a tired old baseball story, isn't it? And the team struggles. It's a pretty good manager, good man, but they got to do something, and they bring in a retread, and what's that going to do? I mean, I don't see them suddenly reeling off, 11 out of 12. But, that team, really ever since Dusty left, they've been heading straight down, and they've got a lot of problems now. Duvall's had a slow starting, and just, they're getting in that dangerous territory where, it looks like they just as soon lose.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we got about 7 or 8 teams that, they could probably come close to 95 to 100 losses this year.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen that in a while. It's almost like an NFL thing where teams just, they don't care. They just would rather not spend the money. And it's I could see why the union got upset.
Yeah, definitely. It's very disturbing. I mean, you can never... people operate their teams the way they want, and of course they're always going to point to the Astros, who did exactly that and built an incredible powerhouse. They're probably going to win it again this year. But, on the flip side, it can be just a treadmill where you never get off it.
Boy, you can see that. Looking at some of the the Red Sox are 17-2, but the team for me, and I know we laughed at Gabe Kapler the first week of the season, and the Phillies right now, their starting rotation, the ERA is number one in the National League. And Nola today, 7 innings, 2 runs, no walks, 9 strikeouts. Gabe Kapler and the Phillies. And and I can't tell you a name of one guy in the bullpen.
Well, the lineup is a lot of mysterious guys, too. I mean, you got Hoskins in there and Herrera. But, during the first week of play, when he was doing all these crazy things, I remember Flannery just killing him on Twitter, and I said, fire the guy by May 3rd or something like that, because it just seems so ridiculous. But you read a lot more about this guy. Gabe Kapler is a very different kind of a cat. He's a new age guy. He's kind of a seeker. The bodybuilder. He's the intellect. Bob Ryan, he covered him with the Red Sox. He's the first intellectual bodybuilder I've ever met. There's an endearing quality to him somehow, and I'm kind of glad to see what they're doing. I just wish, I can't understand why we don't see more clips of Kapler, in the media with his media sessions. Well, let's see him. You never see him ever.
No, you're right. You're right. Yeah. And we are going to see him if they pitch like this.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope they stay in it with the Mets and Washington all year, and even Atlanta. That's going to be a great race.
Yeah, Atlanta's in the top five. I look at starters ERA because that's what's going to tell me over the course of a year where a team can end up. And the Braves are right in there as well with Washington and Arizona and, the typical teams you'd expect. Well, today is the birthday of one of our favorites. He was a manager for the Cardinals. He was a utility shortstop for many years. Unfortunately, he passed away last October.
You're talking about Bert Hogg here. Jack Kastner? Oh, no, Solly Hemus. That's right.
That's right. Solly's birthday was today. So,
along with Jack Kastner and Bert Hogg, the famous Bert Hogg.
Right, or Bert Haas, I think. But, that's...
I think it's Hogg. I think it's H-O-double-G. Look it up.
All right.
Could be a guy that got by you, Marty.
You did. You got it. I'm not Gump Worsley on everything.
Hold on. Yeah, Bert Hogg. He was a player mostly in the minors, but he got up to the bigs for a cup of coffee. Also, Dick Green and Ken Caminiti today,
Very good.
Up,
so. Okay. Yeah. Very good. Well, Solly was in there, too, so I thought
I'd
definitely bring it up. It's so funny. I told Raf, let's call him. And Raf says, okay. And I looked it up, and he died in October.
Well, let's call him anyway.
Right. So why not? Let's try it. All right. Great to talk to you. I look forward to talking to you tomorrow, and we'll see what happens tonight.
Sounds great, Marty. Talk to you then.
More coming up.